I love coming to church. When David said, I was glad when they said to me, let us go to the house of the Lord. You know? Sometimes when the alarm goes off, maybe not so much, but once everything starts kind of, it's like, no, you know? It's good to be in the house of the Lord. It's good to be in the presence of God. It's good to be with believers. So Pastor Ron and Connie, they headed away, get away for a few days, and so that's why I'm up here. I'm always excited when they leave in like late September or October because it's Pastor Appreciation Month, and then I'm able to talk about that because Pastor's not usually going to get up and toot his own horn or, you know, try and say, I'm Pastor and anointed by God and all that stuff. So I get to, because it's something that we need to know, and it's something that we need to hear, and it's not anything either that he would really care for if he was sitting there and I start talking about how great he is, because then he's just sitting there, and it looks like he paid me. But if he's not here, doesn't look like that, and then we're a lot better off. But it's good. I'm glad when they get away, you know, in general. But I like to say I do. I'm glad when they're able to get away and know and trust that things are going to roll on smooth here and they don't have to worry about it. But then also when they get away, like say at the end of September, beginning of October. So with that, so anyway, I kind of gave away where I'm going. But that's okay because I didn't have a title, so talking about appreciating our pastor and how we respect him and how we should value him and how we should value them and the anointing and the call that's on their life. Because what we know about something affects what we can get from something. What we know about something affects how we view something, and that affects then how we treat it, you know. Because if I know that something is very valuable, I treat it differently than something that got bought at the Dollar Tree, you know. You can pick up things at the Dollar Tree and it's like, wow, this is crazy. This is only a dollar. This is unbelievable, you know. But it still is only worth a dollar, you know. And it might be cool and look cool, but it doesn't have the value of something that doesn't get sold at the Dollar Tree, you know. Something that you would pick up at Tiffany's, maybe, or something like that, you know? You value it differently when you know what kind of value is there. And so that's why I like to teach on and talk about the value of our pastors, because it affects how we view it, how we treat it, and then it also affects how we're able to and what we can receive from it. So my original plan was to just kind of touch on this, but as I started working on the message, and it just kind of kept going, and so I was like, well, the other half of today will have to be another day, because it ain't all going to fit today. So, pastors really are just like any other person in the natural sense of being. And so I like to talk about that a little bit too, because sometimes people will look at churches like us and say that we respect and submit to our pastor, and they can look at that in a bad light and in a bad sense. And sometimes that it would even be that we, or churches maybe like ours, would deify, you know, and put some too much honor and glory I don't know how you would really say it, but there's churches then too where the pastor controls everybody's life, and shepherding in that sense becomes a bad term, to where they'll tell you whether or not you should buy a car or sell your car or get another wife or whatever, you know, or give your wife to him. And sometimes those things get really wacky, you know, and then the people that are there can be just kind of brainwashed and think, oh, that's what the pastor said, so that's what I got to do. And so I like to bring up and say that they're just people just like we're people, you know. We're not trying to say that they are glorified or anything like that, but they're just people like we are. But there's an anointing on them, there's been something placed on them and put on them that when we recognize that, it allows us to get something else from them. It changes the way we view them and thereby changes what we're able to get from them. Because if we don't know it, then we can't get it, you know? Like, and so if you have a lottery ticket is just paper, like any other paper, right? Just a piece of paper. But what's on that piece of paper can really make a difference. When you know on there, Neil's talked before and said, God, if you give me the Powerballs, I'll go buy a ticket. You give me the Powerball numbers, I'll go buy a ticket, you know? And he jokes and says that pretty often. But if you have a lottery ticket and the winning Powerball numbers are on that ticket, if you don't know it, what can you get out of that ticket? Nothing. You know, there's been movies made about that, and you know, where it's like this person ends up with the winning ticket and they didn't even look or realize it and they threw it away, and then it becomes the whole movie of trying to get that ticket back. Because of why? Because of what's been put on that ticket and the value then that comes because of what's been put on that ticket, you know? And our pastors are the same way. What's been placed on them, the anointing and the call of God that's been put on their life, when we realize that and recognize that, the value that's there and what is available to us because of it, it changes, should change the way we look at them and the way we view them. The way we, if you say handle might be a wrong term maybe in that sense, but the way we treat them, the way we respect them, you know. The difference is what's been placed on them. The common denominator is they're people just like we're people, but there's an anointing on them to do supernatural things. Go to Ephesians chapter 4. Ephesians chapter 4. We're going to talk a little bit about pastors. I almost forgot that was my opportunity to take a drink of water. While you're flipping in the Bible, I can take a drink of water, like discreetly, until I talk about it. Now you all look when the next time I give a scripture, you'd be like, is he getting a drink of water? Ephesians 4, verse 7. Paul's writing here to the church in Ephesus. He says, but to each one of us, grace was given according to the measure of Christ's gift. Therefore, he says, when he ascended on high, he led captivity captives and he gave gifts to men. Now this, he ascended, what does it mean but that he also first descended into the lower parts of the earth? He who descended is also the one who ascended far above all the heavens, that he might fill all things. And he himself gave some to be apostles, some prophets, some evangelists, some pastors and teachers. So I want to talk about those verses there a little bit. I like verse 7, I threw it in, it isn't part of what I'm not really talking about that. But to each one of us, grace was given in accordance to the measure of Christ's gifts. I love that scripture and I just wanted to mention it because that's like scripture that is self-image, it's like a self-image scripture, you know? Because at times we feel like, I'm not really good enough, I don't know that I can do that, I'm not gonna handle that or whatever. But it says, to each one of us, grace was given according to the measure of Christ's gift. Each one of us received Christ's gift and his measure for each of us. And so it's one of those things where, like, when we start to feel down, we can say, no, I've been given the measure of grace by Christ's gift. It's one of those leveling statements, too, but it takes those people who feel whenever I feel like I'm down and not good enough, I say, no, I've been given the grace of God through Christ to do what he called me to do. So that's a free one. You can just take that, stick it in your pocket. Hang on to it for the day that you feel down in the dumps, because that happens to most of us. Some of you not, maybe, but some of us it does. Verse 8, therefore, he says, when he ascended on heaven, when he ascended, who's he? That's Jesus. When Jesus ascended on high, he led captivity captives, and he gave gifts to men. So he gave gifts to men. He gave gifts to mankind. And so then verse 9 and verse 10 says that he ascended, this he that ascended. He's talking about that. He says, what does it mean that he first also descended in the lower parts of the earth? He who descended is also the one who ascended far above the heavens that he might fill all in all things. So he's talking about Jesus, and he puts those two verses in. He talks about, to clarify who he is. He's saying it's Jesus because he descended, he led captivity captive, and then now he's seated at the right hand of God far above all principalities and powers. That's who we're talking about. And what did he do? He gave gifts to men. So verse 11 picks back up where he was talking about what he did. Verse 9 and 10 are in parentheses, and so it just makes it so it's a side note. So it picks back up. He gave gifts to men in verse 11, and he himself gave some to be apostles, some prophets, some evangelists, some pastors, and teachers. So that there, a lot of times in churches like ours, gets called the fivefold ministry. The five gifts that Jesus gave to the body of Christ: the pastor, the teacher, the apostle, the evangelist, and the prophet. And so those are the five gifts that Jesus gave to us. And so if I don't recognize that those people in those positions are a gift from God to me as a man, because I'm part of mankind, if I don't recognize that, then I'm going to fail to get what I could from them. Same way, if my lottery ticket has something on it that's important and valuable, if I don't recognize it and realize it, I'm not going to be able to receive what it is that is rightfully mine. And so it changes the way we look at the ministry gifts and what they have. But when I recognize it, then I can come expecting, Jesus, what do you have for me through this gift that you've given me today? It changes the way I come to church. It changes the way I look at and listen to service. It makes it sometimes easier to stay awake, you know? Because if I just come to church and I'm just like, okay, I wonder what pastor's going to talk about today. Or Ronnie, sometimes, you know, if we've grown up around, sometimes people say, oh, I wonder what Ronnie's going to talk about today. He's so funny, I love hearing him talk. It changes what I'm going to receive because of what I'm looking for. It changes the way I view it because of what I know is there and is available to me. Because when I come in saying, God, what do you have to speak to me to affect my life from the gift that you gave to mankind? Because he only gave five of them. So, like, it's not like there's just all these gifts laying all over the place. There's five, you know? I mean, five positions that Jesus gave to the church. And so there's something different there whenever I recognize that, and it changes the way I view things and how I look for and what I'm looking for. Go back to Ephesians there, and then Ephesians 12 tells us what those gifts are for. Talks about why he gave them to us and what they're for. Verse 11 says, and he himself gave some to be apostles, some prophets, some evangelists, some pastors and teachers. What for? For the equipping of the saints, for the work of the ministry, for the edifying of the body of Christ. Till we all come to the unity of the faith and the knowledge of the Son of God, to a perfect man, to the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ, that we should no longer be carried about with every wind of doctrine, by the trickery of men and the cunning craftiness of deceitful plotting, but speaking the truth in love, may grow up in all things into him who is the head, Christ, from whom the whole body joined and knit together by what every joint supplies, according to the effective working by which every part does its share, causes growth in the body for the edifying of itself in love. A whole lot of stuff that the Bible tells us, this is why God gave these gifts to the body of Christ. for the equipping of the saints in verse 12, for the work of the ministry. God says that he put pastors and teachers and evangelists and prophets in the body and on earth so that us, as the saints, saints are believers, so that the believers would be equipped to do the work of the ministry. So they teach us and show us how to make the ministry work and to make it do. Because like if we relied on pastor to do everything here at the church, it wouldn't happen. Because we've had teaching over the years to say, these are things that you guys are equipped to do. He teaches us that we're equipped to minister to people as they come in the door, to minister to people in the nursery, to minister to people as they get older and older and older, to minister in here, to minister, to do the work of the ministry. That he equips us to do the work of the ministry so that for the edifying of the body of Christ, so that the body of Christ would be edified. What's edify mean? Built up. So that the body is built up, that it grows and it gets better because we're learning how to do the work of the ministry and the body begins to function better. It begins to grow and it begins to develop and be built up and edified. So verse 18 says, till we all come to the unity of the faith. And as I was reading this, I've taught this multiple times. This time this word stood out to me. 18 starts with till, which I thought was interesting. There are times when you read the Bible, King James, sometimes New King James, where it seems a little southern. I thought, so that means until. If you're not from the south, that means until. But if you are southern, then you just know it means till. Till we all come to the unity of the faith. Sometimes people argue and talk about things and the gifts of the Spirit, gifts from God, gifts from Jesus. There's different gifts like that, and people will say, oh, those, like the gifts of the Spirit especially, a lot of times there will be people who say that the gifts have passed away because they gave them to the apostles, and then there's not really any reason that we should expect them now because, and so there's theological and doctrinal beliefs that say those kind of things. You know, because we have how many different doctrines and how many different churches because people don't always get along and people disagree on topics like this. And some people say, like us, that the Spirit of God is still moving and that the gifts are still in operation, and other people say they're not. This qualifying statement right there in verse 12 says, how long are these gifts going to be available for the equipping of the saints, for the work of the ministry, and to build up the body of Christ? Till we all come to the unity of faith. Well, that hasn't happened. You don't even have to read the next four verses because we certainly have not come to the unity of the faith, or otherwise things would be a little different. Till we all come to the unity of the faith and of the knowledge of the Son of God, to a perfect man, to the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ. Verse 14 says that we should no longer be children tossed to and fro, carried about with every wind of doctrine. One thing that teachers and pastors and these fivefold gifts will do will help us not to be carried around by every wind of doctrine. Because something blows in and it seems like, oh, this is what God's doing. Well, maybe it is and maybe it isn't. We need to find out and know that this is what God's doing. And it says we're not tossed by every wind of doctrine, like children. Because you can convince children anything. I've shared before, my brother Ernie, whenever we had kids and he didn't, he thought it was awesome to like teach them that words meant something different than what they actually meant. And so he's like, when I have kids, I'm going to tell them that Walmart is Mars. Because I will be the coolest dad ever because I'm saying, let's go to Mars, bud. And so we'll get in the car and we'll go to Mars and get candy and whatever. And so he was thoroughly convinced until he had his own kids. And he's like, wow, that really probably won't work very good. But you can convince kids of anything because they're simple-minded. They don't have, you know, they don't have the knowledge that it takes to understand that's really not Mars. You know, it's just not. But that is what God wants us to not be like children who are tossed to and fro by every wind of doctrine, by the trickery of men and the cunning craftiness of deceitful plotting. God wants us to know what is something that we can hang on to, something we should follow, what that cornerstone of Jesus Christ that we talked about, that we can stay attached to that, and what comes out from that and grows. The building grows out from the cornerstone. If all you had was a cornerstone, there's not much there. It's a rock, and you can sit on it, and it's there. But from that cornerstone grows that building and where it goes. And so there's lots of things that God has going on. But he says, don't be tossed around to and fro by the deceitful plotting and cunning craftiness of men. Verse 15, but speaking the truth in love, God wants us, and we learn from these fivefold minister gifts, how to speak the truth in love. That the things that we say should be loving to other people. That we are learning how to do that. Have we learned how to do that? No, it wasn't a trick question. Are we working on learning how to do that? Yes, but we aren't all there. None of us are there. Because there's going to come a point in time, if you haven't yet, there's going to be a point when something pushes your button and you're not going to speak in love. If you haven't had it happen, it will. Because otherwise, Till would already be here. You know? It would already be Till, and it's not Till because these things haven't happened. That we may speak the truth in love, that we may grow up in all things unto him who is the head in Christ. These fivefold minister gifts are there to help us grow up. They're to help us when things are rough, that we can get through it and we can get better and we can move on forward. They're there to help us grow up in life. Unto him who is the head, Christ. They're there, and what they're doing should be pointing us towards Christ as the head. That we're growing up, in verse 15, in all things unto him who is the head, Christ. I like, he said, because like, unto him who is the head, and then he kind of, the way it's wrote in my Bible is like there's a dash and then Christ and a dash. Like in case you didn't know who the head is, just to clarify and make it so that there's no confusion that we're growing up into the head who's Christ. And so those gifts are supposed to draw us and push us towards being grown up in Christ and becoming the believer that God called us to be. Because when we do that, then in verse 16 it says, from whom the whole body, joined and knit together by what every joint supplies, according to the effective working by which every part does its share, that causes growth in the body for the edifying of itself in love. And I love how it kind of sandwiches all those things in between there, because in verse 12 it said, for the equipping of the saints, for the work of the ministry, for the what? Edifying of the body of Christ. And then it talks about kind of what those things are, kind of lays it out a little bit, and then in verse 16 it goes back to it and it says, that causes growth in the body for the what? Edifying of itself in love. So God just kind of lays it out, Paul writing, God speaking through him, saying that these gifts are here to edify the body of Christ, to help us to grow up, that we can work with each other, because every joint supplies, every part of the body, each one of us has something that we should be giving, that we should be giving out, that we should be helping each other with, that we should be doing so that each part does its share. He like kind of says it in two different ways. That every joint, the whole body joined and knit together by what every joint supplies, according to the effective working by which every part does its share. I think it's because in case you felt like you weren't a joint, you said, well, I'm not a joint, I'm not that important because joints move and do things, I'm just a part. It covers all of us. It covers joints and parts, because not everybody's a joint and not everybody's, well, parts is kind of more universal. But every part, each one of us, has something to do to edify the body of Christ. And that's what the fivefold ministry gifts are there to do, to help us and to teach us and understand what those things are. Because when the body grows and edifies itself in love, then things happen. John 13, 35, you can go there. You probably know that one. I knew that scripture for a long time, but I didn't always know where it was. But now I've got it pretty much memorized. John 13, 34 and 35. 34 says, this is Jesus talking. He says, a new commandment I give to you, that you love one another as I have loved you, that you also love one another. By this, all will know that you are my disciples if you have love for one another. Just like we saw in Ephesians where it says the body edifies itself in love, when that happens, when it's all of us working together, loving each other, and the body begins to grow because of it, people recognize that. It says they'll recognize and know that we're Christians because of the love that we have one for another. Because it's not normal, you know? It's not the norm. Why, what Energy is doing, what Brad says, we're wanting to show love to people. Because there's a lot of places in the world where we don't receive love. But the church is not supposed to be one of them. Relationship with Christian people is not supposed to be one of them. It's supposed to be somewhere where we are receiving love. And that's what our pastor is able to impart into us. That's what we've got to look for. How do I view our pastors? Am I, or are you, missing out on what's there for us in that gift from God? Maybe you say, you know, I say, oh yeah, I know how to receive from my pastor. Well, none of us ever have it all figured out, you know. We're always growing and always learning, always developing. So I'm asking you guys to ask that question. Where am I at in my relationship with our pastor? Where am I at in that? How do I recognize him as a gift from God? Do I realize what's there and what's available to me? Am I looking for it? How I view something, what I recognize about something, it affects how I handle it and what I can get out of it, what I can get from it. October being Pastor Appreciation Month, let them know that you appreciate them. Appreciation is a good thing, but I think in this case, if we're talking about something that's supernatural, as I wrote that, I was like, appreciate is a very weak word in this sense, you know? Because if we're talking about a gift from Jesus Christ to mankind, on top of them, I say, huh, I really appreciate you. What? You know? It's not a bad thing, but I think there's something more that we can have there than just appreciation, you know? I think it should be. I think it's a weak word in this case. Appreciation is a good thing, but I think in this case, too, there's also should be respect, honor, submission. That's a word that a lot of people don't like to use, don't like to have involved in, don't like it involved in my life. We'll just use it in your life that you need to submit. And I laugh when I do weddings. I just did my brother's wedding a couple weeks ago, and I was like, I kind of joke about that because we'll go to Ephesians and read about what's supposed to happen and wife submits to your husbands as and that, and then we can just stop there because the other part isn't really important. That's the important part right there. We don't have to worry about husbands love your wives the way Christ loved the church and he gave his life for her. You know, there's something different there than just appreciate. There's just, you know, submit to say that, Pastor, I stand with you. I'm believing with you. I'm believing for you. I love you. We love you, you know. Thank you for what you've done for us, you know. All those things are different words than appreciate. I think they can fall, appreciate is a good thing, but cards work a lot. Like Hallmark, you know, they're pretty smart. They know how to write cards that make a lot, you know. And so it's easier to put and on the calendar where it says Pastor Appreciation Month, it's easier to put that than to put It's pastor, love, support, submit, respect, month, you know. There's things that you just do. But it doesn't mean that the other things aren't important and that you can't do them, you know, or that we shouldn't be doing. Those are all things that I encourage you to begin to pray for pastors. Begin to pray for them. Lift them up in prayer. Because, or pray more for them. If you say, oh, I already pray for them. Well, that's great. Pray more for them. Because we can pray more for all parts of our life. I can pray more for my own life. I can pray more for my pastor. I can pray more for my kids. I can pray more for my wife. You know, I can talk about God about things a lot more than I do. But pray for health in their lives. Pray for favor on their lives. Go to Ephesians 6. Paul's talking here. This was a good to drink opportunity. Ephesians 6. It's crazy how the word is living and active and sharper than a two-edged sword. I don't even know how many times I've taught about pastor appreciation. A lot. I really don't have any idea. And I've used this scripture before. But I never realized or saw where this scripture was at. Like, in context. Let's put it that way. Ephesians 6, verse 18. Paul's writing here. And he says, praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit, being watchful to this end with all perseverance and supplication of all the saints, and for me, that utterances may be given to me, that I may open my mouth boldly and make known the mystery of the gospel. So I've seen that and I've read that. It's right after the armor of God. Like when we talk about putting on the armor of God, something that we as believers should put on every day, that we take and put on the armor that God's given us, what Jesus is there and these different aspects of it, how they affect my life, and I declare those and put those on my life. If that's something that I should do daily, it doesn't stop. Like, it goes right on to talks about putting on the whole armor of God. Above all, take the shield of faith, verse 16. Verse 17, take the helmet of salvation, the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God. And then it goes to verse 18. Praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit, being watchful to this end with all perseverance and supplication for all the saints. So he's saying, you're putting on the armor of God and then praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit. Pray in the Spirit a lot. Then being watchful to this end with all perseverance and supplication for all the saints. Not only are we doing that for ourselves, it says that we're supposed to be praying with supplication for all the saints. Like, I've never heard that tied in with the armor of God, but it's right there. It's like, sometimes we'll take, and I like Bible programs that don't let you put, only take A or B, like, because we'll take verses and we'll be like, something, something, A, because we're just going to talk about the first part of it, and we're not going to talk about the second part. Some Bible programs, like, if you're taking that scripture, you're taking the whole thing. You can't just take it and take part of it out. You're going to have to take the whole thing. You can't just use B or A or, you know. If you're going to use the scripture, you got to use the whole thing. And so it says, with supplication for all the saints, we put on the armor of God, pray in the Spirit, and we're supposed to pray for all the saints. And then verse 19, Paul says, and for me. Pray for me. Paul was an apostle. One of those fivefold gifts that says, this is a gift from Jesus to mankind. He says, and for me. Don't forget to pray for me every day. Put on the armor of God, pray for fellow saints, and pray for me. Pray for the leader. That utterance may be given to me, that I may open my mouth boldly and make known the mystery of the gospel, for which I am an ambassador in chains, that in it I may speak boldly as I ought to speak. So that was just one of those things where, like, when the word of God opens up and you're like, wow, I've never seen that before, you know? That, like, because I've heard, how many people have heard teaching on the armor of God? You know, if you've been in church very long, you've heard that. This is what we do. That's what Jesus gave us to be able to protect ourselves. You know, there's Jesus in all those things. And we're supposed to take that and put it on our life. And pray in the Spirit. That's great. We usually stop there. But it says, pray for all the saints. Now, being in the type of church we're in, growing up in a mainline denominational church, when you talk about saints, those were only special certain people who have already died, and they're saints. But when we see saints in the Bible, it's talking about believers. And it's talking about us, all of us. We're all saints. So just kind of the knowledge is power. So just so you know, it's talking about believers. We're supposed to be praying for believers. And then Paul says, and for me, pray for the gifts that God gave to the body of Christ. And so you could put any of those gifts in there because he's an apostle. Pray for our pastors that utterance may be given to them, that they may open their mouths boldly and make known the mystery of the gospel. Because if it's a mystery, the only way they know it is if God shares it with them, right? The only way we know any mysteries is if God shares it with us. So Paul's saying, this is deep, man. The mystery of the gospel is deep. Pray for me that I know how to share what I'm supposed to share. And then in verse 20 it says, for I am an ambassador in chains, that in it I may speak boldly as I ought to speak. He says, I want to speak as I ought to speak. I want to speak what God wants me to speak, not just things that I think are good to speak. I want to speak what God wants me to speak. So pray for me that I know what I'm supposed to say and that I'd be able to say it boldly. Romans 15, go there. Romans chapter 15. Paul writing to the church in Rome. And he talks again here about praying for him. There's a few other places that he does. These are only two that I'm going to talk about today. But Romans 15, verse 30. Now I beg you, brethren, this is Paul writing to the church. I beg you, brethren, beseech you, plead with you, I'm begging you. That means it's important. Like, serious. I'm begging you, brethren, through the Lord Jesus Christ and through the love of the Spirit, that you strive together with me in prayers to God for me. It says, I'm begging you that you strive. What's it mean to strive? If you strive for something, that's more than just meandering, right? It's not like lazy. Striving takes effort. It takes effort and work to strive for something. Struggle. That you strive together with me in prayers to God for me. This is Paul, who's like, oh, it's Paul. You know, I mean, if you're in church, it's like Paul's the man. And he's saying, I'm begging you that you put effort into prayer for me. That's serious. Put effort into prayers with me in prayers to God for me. So it's not a matter of Paul saying, I'm just going to let you guys pray for me and I'll take the benefits of it. He says, I'm doing it too. And I'm asking you, begging you to work hard at praying for me. Why? In verse 31, that I may be delivered from those in Judea who do not believe that my service for Jerusalem may be acceptable to the saints, that I may come to you with joy by the will of God and may be refreshed together with you. Some of that is like situational as to what's going on right there. You know, there were things going on where Paul says, I need help with this right now. But in the general sense, Paul's saying, pray for deliverance for me. Pray that my service for Jerusalem, a lot of times Jerusalem is like the church. You can talk about the church as a whole. We'll see Jerusalem referred to as the church. And so pray for that my service for the church may be acceptable to the saints. In Jerusalem, that was like the head of the church at that point in time. And so like that's where the apostles were and they kind of were based out of. So that was kind of like you had to run things by them because they were in charge. And so that what he's doing, he said, pray that it would be acceptable. And then 32, it says, pray that I may come to you with joy. And so, like I say, specifically, he's talking to the Romans, but praying that he would have joy in his life and he would be able to go do what? By the will of God. He wants to do the will of God with joy in his heart. And so for our pastor, we can pray the same thing for our pastors. God, that your will would be done in their life, that they would follow after your will, they would hear your voice, that they'd be refreshed. It finishes up, say that and may be refreshed together with you. God, that I'd be refreshed, that my pastors would be refreshed. These are all things that we can pray for the ministry gift that God's given us. Like I say, some of those things are situational in there, but some of those things are still carry on today. That we can follow after the will of God, that our pastor will hear the voice of God and follow after the will and have joy in their lives. So we need to pray for our pastors. And so in closing, I want to just encourage you in that. Maybe you say, like I said, maybe you do. You say, I do pray for pastors. We can pray more, apparently. You know, Paul says pray without ceasing for the saints, for the rest of us, and for the ministry gifts. That's big. I'm not there. I don't pray without ceasing. You know, that's something that I strive for. To be able to just talk with God regularly throughout the day, you know. I'll try that, and I'll be going along in life and talking with God, and then I'll get involved in something, and my mind will shift to what's going on here, and then it goes along for a while. I was like, oh, God, I was right in the middle of talking with you about something, and I just kind of like left it off, you know, and pick it back up. Oh, to be at the point where I'm just always talking with God and I can do this stuff in the natural and not even lose contact. You know, I mean, that's awesome. But the opportunity is there for us to be able to commune with God and talk with God all the time. Not only for ourselves, but for the saints, the rest of us, believers, and for the ministry gift that God's given us. So I encourage you to pray for our pastors for joy, for restoration and health in their bodies, for prosperity and blessings in their life, for protection for them, that they would be, that they're in the will of God, that they are able to speak the mysteries of the gospel, the way Paul said, that they hear the voice of God clearly, that they know they're following after God as they lead and direct our church, that we're able to then in our own lives for pastor appreciation and life every day, respect and honor them. Recognize what's been put on them and stand with them. Stand behind them and stand with them to do what God's called us here to do. Not only in October, but every day. Because if we don't know what's been placed on them, we can't recognize, we can't take advantage of it, we can't receive from it, and we don't value it the way we should. I don't have the winning Powerball tickets. I got a Starbucks receipt. It really has very little value because there hasn't been anything placed on it the way there's been an anointing and a call from God put onto our pastors. So let's pray. God, I thank you for your word. Lord, that you continually teach us, help us to grow. Show us more of your love, God, each day. That you instruct us, God. Thank you as we look in your word, God, that we see the gifts that you've given us in the fivefold ministry. Lord, help us to understand that more. Help us to grow in love for our pastors. Help us to grow in love for the gifts and the anointing, God, on the people that you called and gifted to the body. God, help us to pray for them more. We thank you, God, that you give us the opportunity to make a difference, that we can pray, God, stand in the gap for them. I thank you, God, that you help us to see how we come and what we expect when we have interaction with the fivefold ministry gifts. God, help us to expect more from you because you've given it that we can grow as a body of believers. Help us to see that, God. Let us be open. that our pride would be down, that we can be corrected, instructed, God, and loved. And we thank you for it. In Jesus' name, amen. 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 The elders will be up front. If you need prayer for anything, we'll be glad to pray with you. What's that? Deacons meeting right after service, back in the Bible Explorers room. And otherwise, you're dismissed. God bless you. Have a great week.